Turn to Daniel chapter 9, if you would. We're looking at the divisions of the 70 weeks. Daniel chapter 9. We made it down to verse 27. We looked at the first two divisions. Now we're looking at the third division. Starting in verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this time that we have tonight together as we look into your word and continue this journey through Daniel. I pray, Father, that you would enlighten us to the truths of your word, that you would be lifted up and glorified in all that we do here and all that we say here. And Father, I pray that you would touch each of our hearts, that we'd be drawn closer to you, our faith would increase, and Father, that you would have the preeminence in our lives. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight, for it's in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So 1 week, 7 years from the rapture till the millennium. We know the rapture is 7 years, right? Everybody does know that. Tell me yes. We all know that 7 year rapture period. First 3.5 years will be a picnic compared to the last 3.5 years, but none of it's going to be any fun at all. It's going to be terrible, terrible time. Right now, people are believing that we are in the rapture. I mean, in the tribulation period, excuse me, in the tribulation period. There are people here on this earth that believe we are living in the tribulation period. People who supposedly have accepted Christ as Savior. They're professing to be Christians, and they believe that this is the tribulation that we're going through. This is nothing compared to what it's going to be. Nothing. Obviously, they haven't read the Bible. Because if they read the Bible, they would know that this is nowhere near what that's going to be like. Are things bad? Yes. Have they always been bad? Yes. Why? Sin. Sin is the answer, so we know that it's bad, and it's going to get worse. But it doesn't mean that we give up, right? Doesn't mean we throw in the towel and go home because this thing's going to get worse. No, we continue to be, like Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. We need to be about our Father's business, and so we need to continue on. The key events, approximately, and this is approximate time, 2,000-year gap apparently separates the last week during which the entire church age takes place. We are in the church age. Currently, we are in that time period, which is the time where we, as God's people, get to go out and share the gospel and see people come to know Christ as Savior. Does everybody do that? The answer is no. Not everybody does that. You can share with lots of people and nobody ever gets saved, right? Or you can share with 10 or 20 people and all of them get saved. We don't get to determine who does and who doesn't. We just have to go out and share with everyone. That's what we're left here for. And so we continue to do that. And then beginning on the first day of this final 7 year period, the Antichrist, as the head of the revived Roman Empire, a united Europe, will confirm a 7 year covenant of or peace treaty with Israel. This event begins the 7 year clock of the tribulation. Notice how the stage is already set for this event to be fulfilled in this generation. It's already set. Remember when I said this morning, I believe wholeheartedly in my lifetime, which it's getting shorter and shorter all the time, but in my lifetime, I believe the rapture would take place. People say, well, you're nuts. I'm not nuts. I believe it could happen at any time. Let's go back and look at what Paul said. Did he not believe it could happen? He did. He very much so believed it could happen. in his lifetime. We are a lot further past when it was Paul's lifetime, but it's now my lifetime, and I'm saying it could still happen, and I'm going to stick to it, could be any day. And when it happens, it should not take us by surprise. We should be ready for it. Number one, Israel came into existence as a nation in 1948, in May of 1948. So this is their anniversary of that happening. Number two, Europe began as economic union in 1948 and achieved political union on January 1st of 1993. Number three, peace negotiations with Israel and her Arab neighbors, with European representatives involved, began after the Gulf War and saw an initial treaty signed in September of 1993. This opened the way for additional treaties and negotiations. At the time of September of 1999, another treaty was signed, which was promoted as the precursor to a final status treaty. Other treaties have followed, and the peace process continues at present, having moved forward since the death of Arafat. Israel and the Arabs will never be able to settle the issues of the final status of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount without outside help. That help is exactly what the Antichrist, as the coming European leader, will claim to provide. The need for peace in the Middle East has become even more important in light of the global war on terror and the expansion of the nuclear and biological weapons threat. More recently, we have the August 13th, 2020 announcement. President Trump, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi and the Deputy Supreme Commander of the United Arab Emirates, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed, released a joint statement Thursday after the three spoke and agreed to a full normalization of relations between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. The statement said that the diplomatic breakthrough was at the request of President Trump, and that Israel will suspend declaring sovereignty over areas outlined in the president's vision for peace and focus its efforts now on expanding ties with other countries in the Arab and Muslim world. Now, it's interesting that that news release said specifically that this took place at the request of President Trump. Did anybody hear what our current president said? That this all happened in the Middle East because of him. He took credit for this. When the announcement actually came out in August of 2020, it gave credit to President Trump for putting this together. Interesting. Israel and the UAE also said they will continue their efforts to achieve a just, comprehensive, and enduring resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Now, have we had other treaties and peace talks and all that have blown up? Yes. When will we see peace in the Middle East? I'm talking true peace in the Middle East. I've said it over and over and over. When the Prince of Peace brings it. And until then, man can make all their peace treaties they want, but how solid is man's word? I'm just asking. Anybody ever told you they'd help you do something and then they never show up? That tells you how good man's word is, right? Why do you think contracts go from one page in real estate to 30 pages? Because man will not hold true to his word. So until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, brings peace in the Middle East, it's not going to be there. Now, I bet, I'm not a betting person, but I would bet that if we talk to our missionaries that are in Israel, and may be in the States still, but they have connections over there, we would probably still hear about the mortar rockets and all going over into Israel every day, because that's what's been going on. And every report we get from them, we hear about more of that, more of that, more of that. And in the last one from the Rosencrantzes, we heard about the stuff that's going on with our current administration, which is undermining Israel's security. So we're getting it from firsthand information coming right out of Israel as to what's going on. And yet, we have those that will not believe what it says. And then we go on to the middle. That was at the beginning. Now the middle, exactly 3.5 years later, the Antichrist will break this treaty and defile the temple with the abomination of desolation. From this point on, the Antichrist will launch an insane and intense war against the Jews and Christians who refuse to worship him as God. This guy has a God complex, and he wants to be worshipped as God. And if you don't, he'll have you killed. It's that simple. Because he wants to be worshipped as God. And then at the end of the time, exactly at the end of the 7-year period, the true Christ will return and defeat the Antichrist, then establishing his perfect millennial kingdom. And it will be perfect, because it will be established by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good that we know how the end plays out, right? We've read the book, we know how it finishes, we know we win, right? We should live like we're on the victorious winning side instead of the defeated side. Because a lot of times Christians act like we're defeated. We're not defeated. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. So then the parenthesis between the 69th and 70th weeks, while weeks 1 through 69 run consecutively, there is a parenthetical gap between weeks 69 and 70. The 70 weeks describe God's dealings with Israel. The parenthesis stretches from the rejection and death of the Messiah on to Revelation, to the revelation of the Antichrist at the confirming of his covenant with Israel. Now, it is obvious that the events these weeks were to accomplish were not completed 7 years after Jesus was cut off. No event took place at this time which even vaguely could be twisted to fulfill verse 24. Let's look back up to 24 so we refresh what that says. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So nothing has come close to even coming like that. You'd have to completely reject the literal approach to interpreting Scripture to even think that anything has come close. Then we have the purpose of the 70 weeks, completed as the return of Christ, to bring an end to all human transgressions and sin. Aren't you going to be thrilled when one day we no longer live with sin? There's going to be a day when I tell you, heaven is heaven because Jesus Christ is there, right? That's my opinion of heaven. It's going to be if Jesus Christ was here walking this earth with us today and this was what he set up, this would be heaven. I'm just saying, wherever he is, I think that's heaven. We could enjoy that here if we wanted to. Now, it's going to be sinless when we get there, right? But we could enjoy our walk with the Savior and our lives here on earth. We could enjoy all of that. We don't have to go around defeated all the time just because we're not in heaven and totally away from sin. But one day, there will be no sin. None. Tell people, you know, we ought to practice that here. We ought to practice getting along. We ought to practice not having divisions and strife and backbiting and all that stuff here, because we're going to be doing it there. If we get used to it down here, it won't be such a surprise up there, right? And not that it will be. But can you imagine what it'd be like? We get to heaven and go, wow, everybody's getting along. We're not going to think that because it's just going to happen. It's going to be normal. But it should be that way here, right? Well, we go back and we look at the churches and what was said. They were in one accord. They were in one accord because they were like-minded, following the Lord, right? So we need to do that and get used to it. And then to make reconciliation for iniquity, to vindicate by fulfillment all true prophets and their prophecies. He's gonna fulfill every last jot and tittle of his word. It's going to be fulfilled. So all those prophets that said these things are going to happen, the people laughed at them, mocked them, ridiculed them. Every one of them is going to come to pass because God said they would. So he will fulfill those. Those will vindicate all of those that prophesied all these things to prove the inability of the devil to rightfully rule this world. The devil cannot rightfully rule this world. He thinks he's the ruler of this world, but he's not. Just like the Antichrist, he thought he should be God. And God said, no, that's not the way it works. The created does not rule the creator. It's not the way it's set up. So I like the fact the devil's going to get his due. To destroy the devil and his chief henchman, the Antichrist. I am so looking forward to being there when they are cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Now, I have a hard time with the fact that there's going to be human beings that have come and lived and died without Christ, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. I have a hard time dealing with that. I know it's just, and it's right, because God's set it up that way, but I have a hard time that anyone, would end up in the lake of fire for all eternity. I don't have a problem with the devil and his angels and the Antichrist. I don't have a problem with that. Not after what they're doing. I don't have a problem with that. Then we go on to spiritual warfare and answered prayer, Daniel chapter 10. This entire chapter is actually the introduction to the major prophecies of chapters 11 and 12, given in answer to Daniel's prayer here in chapter 10. This chapter and the two next make one entire vision and prophecy, given Daniel about 2 years after the former. This chapter is introductory, the next has the prophecy itself, and the 12th chapter, the conclusion of it. In this we have Daniel's solemn humiliation, verses 1 through 3, a glorious appearance of the Son of God in verses 4 through 9, and the encouragement given him to expect a full discovery of future events, verses 10 through 21. So we have Daniel's deep prayer. Daniel had been fasting and praying for 3 weeks. Remember this morning we were talking? Who did we have? We had Micah prayed. We had Nehemiah prayed. We've got Daniel praying. Over and over and over, God has woven these things together that we're spending a lot of time with prayer issues. There's got to be a reason for it. I think God seriously wants his people to pray. And we need to be a people of prayer. We need to spend time in prayer. And I'm not just talking about when you have a meal, you pray over the meal, and maybe you pray before you go to bed, but I'm talking about spending time in prayer and maybe weeping. And as I mentioned this morning, maybe spend some time fasting and praying for our nation. For the world, there's more than enough things to be praying about, and not just thank you for my food, right? There's a lot more stuff out there that we need to be praying about, and we need to confess our sins, not only individually, but as a nation, and get those things right. So Daniel, in this prayer in the first three verses of chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Can anybody here say they'd like to do that for 3 weeks? As I said this morning, it's all we can do to fast between breakfast and lunch, right? Or between lunch and dinner. But how about spending 3 solid weeks in prayer? Now, as I've mentioned before, I did a class deal that we did. My wife and I both took it. And during that class, we had a 2-hour prayer session where we got alone by ourselves and God and prayed to God for 2 hours straight. And when I first heard about it, I thought, this guy's out of his mind. Who's got something to pray about for 2 hours? And as I mentioned before, at the end of 2 hours, I was like, I need more time. It's amazing how many things that God will lay on your heart when you get into a situation where you want to pray. And he just kept bringing more and more stuff to my mind, and I just kept praying and praying and praying, and I just... when it was time to end, I was like, no, I'm not finished. I had to continue later. But can you imagine 3 full weeks? I mean, even I, after 2 hours of that and still needing more time, can't imagine 3 full weeks. But let's just think about all the sin and all the evil, wicked things that are going on just in our nation alone. Could we not spend 3 weeks in prayer? And probably not exhaust all of the sins that we're doing? I believe we could. Daniel found it in himself that he could. Says the thing was true. Every word of God is true. Therefore it was true that Daniel had a vision. But the time appointed was long as to the end of the reign of Antiochus, who was 300 years, a long time indeed when it is looked upon as to come. It was, however, made as plain to him as if it had not been history, but rather than a prophecy. It was like so clear to Daniel, like it had already taken place. This vision was so clear that he knew exactly. And he believed. And he understood he understood the thing. So distinctly was it delivered to him and received by him that he could say he had understanding of the vision. How did he have understanding of the vision? Well, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. How do we have understanding of the Word of God? The Holy Spirit. Right? He discerns it. He helps us to understand it. Now, people ask, why is it that one person will read it and they'll get one understanding and somebody else will read it and get a different understanding? Well, it's all depends on if you're being led by the Spirit or not into understanding. And what do you want it to say? There's some people that approach the Word of God with, I want to find out why it's okay for me to do this, and then they go to the Word of God and try and make it fit what they want. When we should be going to the Word of God and saying, what does the Word of God say about this subject? And take whatever the Word of God says and not try to fit it into what we want it to be. It changes things drastically when we approach the Word of God differently. And we need to approach it with, God, what are you saying? Not is it saying what I want it to say, but what are you saying? It's a different mindset. That's why I say every time you go to read the Word of God, you need to pray that God would reveal the truths of His Word to you. Not you go in it looking for it to match what you want to do, but read it with the expectation that God's going to reveal the truth to you. And by the way, if your life doesn't line up, as I say over and over and over again, change. Because God's not going to. If your life doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not God that's off. It's us. By the way, God hasn't moved. Right? He's where he's always been. So he hasn't moved. So if you're not as close as you can be to God, it's not because he moved. Because you have. Or I have. Whoever it is, fill it in. I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks for his own sins and the sins of his people and their sorrows. Now, as I said before, we might say, well, I'm not involved in, nor do I participate in, nor do I approve of, and put in whatever sin it is. It can be adultery, it could be fornication, it could be drunkenness, it could be abortion, it could be same-sex marriage, it could be whatever. So those things don't affect me because I'm not a part of them. When the truth of the matter is, there are sins of our nation, and we need to pray for them. And by the way, because we're part of this nation, it's part of our sin. Who sat back on the sidelines and allowed this to happen? I'll tell you, it's God's people that have done it. If we had stand up and fought back against this stuff, we wouldn't be where we are today. But we chose to sit on the sideline and let it happen. And as long as we continue to do that, we're going to continue to see more of the same and possibly worse. They told me I was crazy when I said they'd be going for same-sex marriage back when I was in high school. That was back in the 70s. No, that'll never happen. What do we have today? Okay, it was in the 80s, I said, if they get same-sex marriage, they'll go for pedophilia to no longer be a crime. And they'll start wanting to marry children. Well, guess what? They have groups out there that promote exactly that already. Now, it's not legal, and I pray it never becomes legal. But I also prayed the other wouldn't become legal. So, as we sit on the sidelines doing nothing, these things keep happening, and they're sins of our nation, of which we are a part of. Just like Daniel, he prayed for the sins of the nation as well as his own sins. As I've said many times, there's nobody here that's without sin. We all sin. Our mindset should be we already sin more than we want to, and we shouldn't go out and sin all the more. But Daniel understood that the sins of his people and the sins of his nation and his sins were all needing to be repented of. So good men cannot but mourn to see how slowly the work of God goes on in the world and what opposition it meets with, how weak the friends of the work of God are, and how active its enemies. We don't seem to be as active in the work against all this stuff as the enemies of God are at work. And it's amazing. It's amazing to me. Who'd have guessed that drug possession was going to be a misdemeanor? And they were going to let everybody out of prison because it was a misdemeanor. They should never have gotten any jail time. Who'd have thought that, I know it's Oregon, has already, it doesn't matter what drug it is, you're legal in Oregon, I believe, now. It could be methamphetamines, it could be cocaine, it could be anything. And it's okay. I believe Colorado is following suit, and several other states. Who would have guessed these things would have been okay? Alcohol. Alcohol, it's everywhere. You can't go anywhere without seeing it now. It's in the grocery store. Aisle after aisle after aisle of it in grocery stores. Like, what do we need that stuff for? Nobody did anything. They said, well, there was prohibition at one time. Yeah, there was. Got overturned, and what happened? Have we dealt with that issue? No. And so we legalize all the drugs to go with it. The enemies are busy at work. Born-again believers, I'm not saying everybody, but a portion of us are on the sidelines doing nothing. And don't care, because the attitude is, doesn't affect me. Well, you obviously haven't read the book. God judges nations as well as individuals. And when the judgment comes is when we get concerned, because we don't like the judgment that comes. I'm going to finish this one section and then we'll move on. During the days of Daniel's mourning, he ate no pleasant bread. It was a token of humiliation and sorrow. He did not eat the pleasant bread he used to eat, but that which was coarse and unpalatable, which he would not be tempted to eat any more of than was just necessary to support life. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. He could deny himself these things to testify and assist in his devotion. Today we find it hard to deny ourselves anything that we like. We like deny self? Get real, right? Why would we deny self? We live in a society that says, me first. So why would we deny us? You know? But Daniel understood what it took. We need to deny ourselves. We need to put God first and deny ourselves. And maybe if we got the same burden that like Daniel and Nehemiah and Micah and those that they had, maybe we would be people that would pray 3 solid weeks or 4 months or whatever the case may be, till we get seeing some things turn around in our nation. I'll tell you, every time that nations repented of their sin, what happened? They got the blessing of God. When they continued on in their sin, what did they get? Well, let's see, captivity. They got all kinds of stuff going on. They went under their enemies' rule. They went into captivity. And many lost their lives. I think it's easier for us to do it God's way. Repent of our sin and let God send the blessings. But it's only going to happen if it starts with God's people. We have to do it. Why would the lost repent of the sins they're involved in when they don't even believe in God? It's got to be God's people that start this. And God's people have to get a burden for lost people to go out and share the message with more. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this book of Daniel. We're thankful for what you've shown us to this point and this fact that Daniel's prayer, and he understood that the sins of the nation were sins that he needed to repent of as well, because the nations are judged for the sin of the nation, and being a part of that nation, we too fall under that judgment. So Father, I pray that we, the people, your people, would understand the importance of having a burden to want to pray, to want to turn from our wicked ways, to want to seek your face, to want to do these things, and then follow through with it. Father, it's going to come when we humble ourselves, when we actually shed some tears for our nation. Shed some tears for the fact that we've sinned against you. Father, we'll have this time of invitation tonight. If we need to get anything in our lives right with you, I pray we'll take this opportunity that you've given us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.